This Coin Week podcast is brought to you by PCGS. PCGS is the leader in the rare coin industry. Visit www.pcgs.com to learn more. Can a coin be legal tender if it can't be spent? We talked to former U.S. Mint Director Philip Deal about a recent controversy that's developed after the Royal Mint in the United Kingdom advised banks not to accept its legal tender collector coins as money.
Hi, Mr. Deal. This is Charles Morgan, editor at CoinWeek.com.
Hello, Charles. How are you?
Good. We published a story over the weekend of a sort of a controversial story, unfortunately, about the Royal Mint in the UK, and it has to do with the topic of legal tender. Now, when you were the director of the United States Mint made collector coins that were legal tender and had denominations which, could have been spent in circulation, even though they weren't intended to circulate. How did you deal with redemption of these coins? Was that never an issue?
Never was an issue. The reason why it was never an issue was pretty obvious, and that is that the metal content of those coins were much higher than the face value. So, for example, a platinum or a gold or silver coin, its face value will be multiples of, its intrinsic value is going to be multiples of its face value.
So one of the things that's happened in the last couple of years is that the Royal Mint, and they're not the only ones, I think the Royal Canadian Mint and a few others might be doing this, they've created collector coins where they're essentially offering the coins on par for their face value, whether it's like 20 pounds for 20 pounds or 50 pounds for 50 pounds or 100 pounds for 100 pounds. And these are precious metal coins. Now, the intrinsic value in these coins is actually less than face value.
Wow. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, and something that happened was that the Royal Mint did not have an ordering limit, and an individual bought 29,000 pounds worth of these coins to put credit card miles on his credit card.
Oh, yes.
And then he tried to redeem them at the bank, and he was turned away, even though the coins were legal tender.
Right.
And so what ended up happening that the Royal Mint, the banks had sought guidance from the Royal Mint as to what to do with these coins. They weren't circulating coins. And the Royal Mint sent them guidance saying that they were not obligated to take them, and in fact, they were encouraged not to take them. They were collector coins, and they were only meant as souvenirs for special events or occasions. It seems to me that sort of flies in the face of what legal tender is supposed to be about.
That's right. I don't know the facts of this situation. It's something I'd have to read up on, but I agree that if they are refusing to accept coins that are legal tender, it's a very curious development. I don't believe I've ever heard of that happening before. I think it's one of the reasons why precious metal coins typically carry a face value much lower than the intrinsic value of the metal in the coin. On the off chance that if the price of a precious metal were to collapse, you wouldn't have a situation where the face value is higher than the intrinsic metal value. As I said, I don't know the details of this, but it sounds like a very curious situation. And when I was director of the Mint, if something like this came up, my recommendation to the Treasury Department is that we recognize them as legal tender, and we bite the bullet and take them back at their face value.
The United States Mint, when you were the director, or even now, I guess, when special commemorative coins are struck, or even silver eagles or anything like that, which has a denomination, is sold to a collector or an investor, the Treasury essentially has that money outstanding on the books, correct?
Well, I don't know what the situation is now. It's possible. Obviously, the sale price of the coin is higher than the cost of production. And that means that a profit is produced. And that profit goes into a separate fund from seniorage. It is not the same as seniorage. Since the cost of producing the coin, these precious metal coins, is higher than the face value, they would have no seniorage.
Right.
So the value, there's no value to carry on the federal books in, you know, representing the seniorage of these coins. The only thing that is carried in the books is the profit from the sale of the coins. And the accounting treatment of those profits is very different from the accounting treatment of seniorage.
But if you, if the, the mint is releasing money, essentially it's releasing it as coin of the realm. Doesn't some accounting have to be done for the face value of the coins that are leaving the mint into circulation?
I don't know that it does at all. I'm not an accountant, and I know some of the details of the accounting, but I don't know it down to that level. But simply conceptually, it makes sense to me that since there's no seniorage produced by these coins, that they would not go on the books on the seniorage side of the ledger. Now, if you think about this, you know, obviously pennies and nickels currently produce negative seniorage. But in those cases, the seniorage is all wrapped up into all the denominations that are booked at one time every month or so on the general fund of the treasury and or whatever other fund. And those, that seniorage is positive. The net seniorage of all those denominations is always positive, although pennies and nickels have negative seniorage. I'm not sure what the accounting treatment is. Well, it must be the same accounting treatment when those pennies come back to be destroyed. Those
right.
pennies and nickels. They, once again, the total seniorage over a short period of time of all those coins that come back to be destroyed is a net positive seniorage, and then that comes back off the books once they're destroyed. Now, the point here is, if the, I mean, the crucial point in my mind is, if the Royal Mint has been producing these collectible coins at a profit, and it sounds like the only profit that they've been making is the seniorage on them, then, you know, then you would think that there is, you know, an accounting entry against which this negative seniorage could be taken.
Yeah, well, in the case of this 100-pound coin, it was a 2-ounce silver coin, I believe, which
mm-hmm.
means that the silver bullion value is far below the face value.
Mm-hmm.
And it would seem to me that it would have been predictable that a coin like that would enter into circulation, even if it wasn't the intended outcome. And then the premium, if you will, of the difference between the silver price and the value of the coin would have to either be borne out by the market, or somebody would decide, hey, I'm not going to be patient. I can spend it for 100 pounds. It didn't cost me more than that.
Tell me the facts of the situation here. You're talking about a 100-pound coin.
Yeah, it was a 100-pound coin that the
Royal
Mint advertised
yeah.
as legal tender and sold for 100 pounds, and it contained 2 ounces of silver.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of like, sort of the marketing arrangement was, you're getting this fantastic silver collector coin on par, 100-pound value, for 100 pounds of just regular money. And they allowed someone to buy 293 of them, and then that person tried to redeem them and they advise the bank not to take them. Right. But their position is that collector and commemorative coins, although technically, they call it technically legal tender, do not have to be accepted. Now, I understand that their law doesn't compel businesses to take any form of particular payment, but I think it's a little bit dishonest to go behind the scenes and tell the bank not to take it. Like, it should be up to the bank whether they want to take it or not. It shouldn't be the mint saying, no, don't take it. These are only souvenirs.
Well, the question really, probably, the resolution of the question probably rests in law of the UK. I mean, for example, in my situation, if I were director of the Mint, that's what I'd turn to see if there are specific provisions of law that govern my decision as director of the Mint. And obviously, I'm sure this decision was not made. I would think that this decision would not be made at the level of the Mint, the Royal Mint. They almost certainly went to the finance ministry, the minister of the exchequer, and got guidance on how to handle this. This is probably above the pay grade of the Mint Master. So they would be turning to big policy issues and to British law and custom and to resolve that issue. So that is a whole, however we view the equity of that decision, my guess is that it is driven by big policy issues or precedent or specific legal provisions.
No, I agree that there has to be something there. I mean, the optics are terrible. But one of the things that's really curious about is, and the denominations of 20 pounds, 50 pounds, and 100 pounds, they do not manufacture coins for circulation. However, under legal tender guidelines and their own website, they say that those coins and those denominations have unlimited legal tender. So I find it hard to believe that you could have limited legal tender for some of the small denomination coins and then have unlimited legal tender for coins that you then say after the fact, well, these are collector coins. They're not intended for circulation, therefore they are not to be used in commerce. I don't understand how you can have a coin where you tell people this is official legal tender in the UK. It has unlimited legal tender status. You can't spend it.
Yeah, it's a very curious situation. I agree with that. But irrespective of how reasonable or just it seems, no, I suspect that this is all the decision is anchored in British law. But since I'm not an attorney, much less familiar with British law, I can't really speak to that.
I understand. Well, it'll be something I'm sure will play out. I think the different mints of the world are going to be curious as to how it plays out, because it undermines the idea that these collector coins are in fact coins if they can't be spent. And
it's a very it's a very curious situation, and it'll be interesting to see how the coin collecting community responds to that.
Thanks a lot for giving me some time and some input on how you think this might play out.
Great. You bet. My pleasure.
And that does it for this episode of the Coin Week Podcast. If you liked it, please share it with your friends. You can also download this and other episodes for free from the iTunes Store. Till next time, I'm Coin Week Editor Charles Morgan. Happy collecting.